This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Marketing Mojo with me, Angeline Tay. And today we have marketing specialists from Get Response Malaysia. We have Melissa Lee. She's the head of Get Response Malaysia. And Prasanna Williams. She's a marketing specialist at Get Response. And today we'll be covering 14 email marketing myths that are hurting your ROI. Melissa, first up is the myth number one, that email marketing is dying.
Yeah, so I think the thing is that I think what a lot of people don't realize is that email has the highest ROI of all marketing channels. Various studies online show this. Email also generates 40 times more customers than social media, mainly because it's like a one-to-one connection, right, with your audience, where social media is one to hundreds, thousands, millions almost. That's why a lot of people are still using email marketing, especially in Malaysia.
Number two is email is only good for some industries.
Yeah, so a lot of people think email marketing is only for like e-commerce or travel agents, so things that look fancy or have a product, it's easy to sell, but actually that's not true. So actually email marketing is for every type of business, because when you think about it, as opposed to like all the other types of advertising platforms that you have, email is one that you have control over, right? Like who do you send it to, when do you send it, and then you have a lot of, you can actually automate it or you can tweak it to suit your audience. So actually it's for everyone. And a fun fact is, our communications person at Get Response, so the person who's doing email marketing for us, was from a B2B business selling like machinery. And she used email marketing to turn the business around.
Okay.
So it's a very boring type of industry, you might say, but email marketing worked like a charm.
Okay, but I guess it ties back to how when you said, Melissa, that it gives the biggest ROI, right? And moving on to number three, that there's one best day or time to send emails. And I think that's common, even on social media marketing as well. They always say that specific timing, you're supposed to post something. So I guess email has that as well?
Yeah, so that's a question we get a lot. Like, what is the best day? What is the best time to send an email, right? There's a lot of various opinions. So some people say first thing in the morning when people come in from work. They say that their laptops or their computers, they open their email, that's the best time. Or some people say lunchtime when people are on their mobile phones, they're waiting for the lift to go down for lunch. Or at the end of the day when they're stuck at traffic. So there's a lot of different schools of thought. But what we realize is there's no best one day or one time. It really depends on the nature of your mailing list and the nature of your business, right? So tools out there, especially like with Get Response as well, we have this feature called Perfect Timing. And what it does is after you send out a few emails, it basically learns the behaviors of your subscribers. So it tracks on an individual level what time this person is most likely to open an email. So for example, if I always open my emails on Monday at 10 a.m. and Pras opens it on Monday at 2 p.m., we'll get the email at those times when the open rate is at the highest. So it really, really depends a lot on a lot of different factors.
Okay, so I guess the idea here is to target when the person opens their email account and you should be the first one on their screen.
Yeah, that's ideally what you're trying to achieve, to get visibility, to be on the top of the inbox.
And then moving on to number four, myth number four is never send the same email twice.
This is the thing. Truth is, you know what? Sometimes people can miss your email. So even though you send it at the right time, maybe on that day when they picked it up, they were busy. So you had a really nice, catchy subject line, but they just didn't have the time to open it. So there's no wrong in sending the same email again, but do it smartly. So what you could do is perhaps change the subject line and send it again, because you're saving, you spend a lot of time building that email, you put resources in, so there's no harm reusing it again. Actually, it's a very smart way.
It is,
yeah.
Because coming from where we stand, like BFM, we have, I think we send out quite a lot of EDMs out to our listeners and community. Mm-hmm. And because we have so many events lined up and we felt like we're spamming, the people who's receiving the email. So even though if it's different content, but it's from the same sender, wouldn't that sort of create that, oh, why are you sending me so many emails?
No. So if it's different value, right? So probably the first time you sent something, it didn't really stick. So you actually tweak it. Yeah, so just like when I said you change the subject line, you're actually changing something. You're optimizing. You're making it better. So if you do that, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. So myth number five is that open rates are the most important metric. And it's a myth?
Yeah, so basically, a lot of times people will ask you like, oh, so what's your open rate? What's the average open rate? Is my open rate good? Is my open rate bad? And yes, I mean, we agree that open rates are important. If people don't open your emails, then they're obviously not going to read what's inside. But I think what we're trying to get people to think about beyond just that is how people engage with the email in question. So we see a lot of times people send out newsletters, emails, and so on without a strong call to action. So we're always trying to get our customers to think, what is the purpose of sending this email? Is it for someone to RSVP for an event? Is it for someone to click a link, to read a blog, to make a purchase? Everything should have a goal so that you can track them to say whether email marketing is successful or not.
Right.
Yeah. So things like click-through rates, for example, click-through open rates, we consider that an important metric as well.
So click-through is more important than open rate.
Well, I mean, if someone didn't open your email, then they won't click. But click-through rate should be tracked as well.
Do we have an average rate?
We do have some best practices, or we do have some benchmarks in Malaysia. On average, among our customers, we see that an average click-through rate would probably be about 2%, and we consider that pretty good already.
Myth number 6 is consumers have too many emails already. I think I just sort of addressed that a little bit earlier, right?
That's right. So I actually have stats for that. So research shows that 60% of people receive less than 6 emails per day from trusted brands. So these are brands that they've opted to receive emails from, yeah? And then out of those 40%, you know, they're only receiving less than 3. So if you think about it, there's a lot of space in that inbox for you to slot your brand in as well.
Right.
Yeah. So if people know your brand, they would have no problem seeing you in the inbox.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So knowing that 60% of people receive less than 6 emails a day from trusted brands. And these are in Malaysia. Yeah. Myth number 7 is if you send a lot of emails, you'll annoy your customers.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is some truth to this. You don't want to be sending them, 10 emails with the exact same content and having them open all. So this also goes back to what Pras was saying earlier. You can employ automation techniques. So, for example, an automation tool would tell you only resend an email if the email was never opened in the first place. So, for example, if Melissa has never opened this email, then wait 2 days and send it to her again. So all this is within GetResponse or any other email marketing tools as well. And basically what we find is that as long as your emails and your subject lines, they feel fresh, varied, and there's value to them, people don't really consider it too many emails as long as they can derive the intrinsic value from it.
Myth number 8 is that inactive users are dead weight. Like, they're just a waste of your space and time.
Yep. So I believe a lot of people get afraid when they see unsubscribe and they realize, like, oh my gosh, it's increasing, or there are more and more people unsubscribing. It's okay, calm down, because actually it's good, because then you can differentiate, okay, so who's not really interested with this type of content or email that I'm sending? And so maybe you're running multiple campaigns, right? So maybe they unsubscribed from one particular one, but they didn't from another. So that means, hey, they're still interested in my brand. It's just that, okay, they don't want to know if I'm having a flash sale or if I'm having an event. But they were really keen when I was sending them blog articles, for example. So don't be afraid. Just use it as a way to read their pattern and their behavior and see what they're interested in and what they're not interested in.
People panic when people unsubscribe, right? Like, is there a way of getting them to resubscribe you again? Or once you lose them, you actually lose them forever?
So actually, there's this thing that we call a win-back campaign. So when someone unsubscribes, so it's by law, right? So you can't actually tell who was the exact person, but you can tell that it was this group of people. So you can actually do this thing called win-back campaign. So GetResponse can do that via automation as well. So immediately when someone says, oh, they're not interested. In a lot of businesses, customer service usually looks into this and they actually tag the person. So for example, working with a fitness company, they said, okay, because I got injured or I went for a holiday. So what you can do is you can craft a message according to the reason why the person unsubscribed, and then you can, you know, either give them a promo code, you know, like give them incentive to come back. So it's one last chance to say, like, hey, we exist. Would you like to try us out again?
Is that a tactic specifically for Malaysian market because we like free stuff?
Yeah, actually, it works like a charm. But like I said, it should be personalized according to the reason. So the more personal you can make it, like Lazada, for example, is a brand that does it. They go like, "Hi, Prasanna, we want you back." Mm. So those do really, really well. And then there's like a 15% discount inside.
And one of my colleagues was sharing with me that he left an item in the shopping cart on Lazada. Yeah. And they actually track that and they know that that has been in the shopping cart and no purchase been done, they actually send an email, here's the 15% off for you to buy that item in your shopping cart.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, abandoned carts now is one of our most popular requested feature as well. People love it because it can tie in with their remarketing campaigns very well. So not only, like for example, if I'm shopping on Lazada or Zalora, not only will I receive an email with my abandoned cart, nowadays that exact item will also follow you on all the websites you visit.
Creepy.
Right? So in your Facebook dashboard as well, you suddenly see on the side there that dress that you added to your cart and you never purchased. Oh. You're like, what?
So it just haunts you, right? And then the traditional marketing is like, if you see the same thing for 7 times, then you finally purchase it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, before we move into our myth number 9, where you need a big list to make a big impact. We'll find out more after this messages. In the studio, we have Prasanna William. She's a marketing specialist. And Melissa Lee, she's the head of Get Response Malaysia. And this is Marketing Mojo. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
We're back on Marketing Mojo with Prasanna William. She's a marketing specialist. And Melissa Lee, head of Get Response Malaysia. And we're actually covering 14 myths of email marketing. And earlier we were just talking about how inactive users are actually dead weight. So you shouldn't be panicking if people unsubscribe from your mailing list. Now moving on to myth number 9, that you need a big list to make big impact.
Yeah, so again, a lot of our customers, like what Pras mentioned as well, they freak out whenever they have unsubscribes, right? And we always tell them like, hey, you know, bigger isn't always better because number one, you could have a mailing list of 100,000 people, but realistically, maybe only 50,000 of them open your emails or engage with them. The other 50,000 haven't opened a single email in a year. Right, and you don't want them because, like what Pras was saying, they're dead weight. Right, it contributes to your costs because you pay for more subscribers. And what's the point of having them on your mailing list if they're never going to do anything in the first place? Mm. You know, you would rather have a smaller database of maybe 1,000 loyal customers who actively engage with your brand rather than a database of 10,000 people who don't open, don't click, don't do anything at all. Mm. It's a vanity metric almost.
Myth number 10 is that short emails are better than long. Hey, we live by this actually at BFM.
Yep. So actually, personally, writing emails, I lived by that as well for some time. But actually, we realized, right, if you have taken the time to craft emails and it's personalized to the person, they are willing to read. You know, if it's compelling, if you use the right type of language, there are a couple of images in there, there's no problem doing it. So again, like Mel said, you need to test. So there are benchmarks, there are rules, but don't be afraid to test. So you can play around, right? So write like a short email and then try a medium length one and then just go crazy. And then look at the results. Were people willing to read your long emails? Were they scrolling to the bottom? You can put buttons like midway or at the bottom and then see which ones were they clicking. Mm. Was everyone clicking at the first button up top or were they like clicking the one right at the bottom? You know, so try it out. Don't be afraid. Yeah, but there needs to be value.
Yeah.
And you need to tell like a story to, you know, compel them to read.
I was just wondering, is there a time where you met clients where they're just consistently losing people?
Well, we actually had a customer in Malaysia who had a bigger database. So they had a database of about maybe 150,000 subscribers, right? And because we have very strict data privacy laws, everything has to be solicited emails. You cannot be spamming people. They have to be permission-based. And there were some ambiguities as to whether their database was aware that they were getting subscribed for emails, right? Mm-hmm. So they had 100,000 people, but we weren't sure whether they knew what they were signing up for. So we actually had to run a campaign, and the brand initially was very very resistant to this, but we basically emailed the entire 100,000 list and said, are you sure you want to be part of this mailing list. Of course, the brand freaked out, right? They're like, oh my God, only 1,000 people are going to reply. No one checks their emails. We're going to have like 1,000 people. We've lost all our hard work.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, they only lost realistically maybe 10% of customers. And the others who still stayed on, right, the 90,000 who still stayed on, were very engaged. So what they saw was on another platform, they were having open rates of 8% with their 100,000 database. They migrated to GetResponse with about 90,000 people. And their open rate shot up to 22%. So it could also be, number one, deliverability. So GetResponse, our deliverability, because we are so stringent with what contacts you import in, we are whitelisted with all the ISPs. We achieve 99% deliverability. So your email is most likely to end up in an inbox 99% of the time. That's one. The second thing was because we removed that 10,000 people who weren't even going to open the emails in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually contributed to a higher open rate as well among the people who were engaging with their emails.
Mm. Now, myth number 11 is that automated emails are impersonal.
Yeah, so this one, marketing automation is a new feature we launched last year. We work with a few companies, and when we initially met them, they would say, oh, what? That's so robotic, you know? There's no personal touch to it. And it's almost like robots are doing your work. But what we told them is that not necessarily. Automation gives you the process, right? So it tells you, okay, if Melissa receives this email and clicks a link on dresses, then send her more emails about dresses. But still, you need a human touch to craft those emails that Melissa will receive.
Mm-hmm.
So although I click the dress link, I've indicated the interest and the automation workflow picks that up. The emails that I get as a response to that is still a human writing them, right? So that's when you do your personalization, right? Like, hey, Melissa, I noticed you like dresses. Here are some that you know. So here are some others that I think you like, so on and so forth, with your recommendations and whatnot.
And it goes back down to the strategy, right? So in order to automate, you actually need that whole big picture and to have that personal touch. Anyway, moving on to myth number 12 is that a subject line is the golden key to the success of an email marketing campaign.
That's right. So a lot of times people stress out over the subject line, right? Because they're like, in an inbox, what are people going to see? Like nothing. They're just going to see subject line. But hey, guess what? So we actually did a study, right? And it showed that people actually looked at the from. So who was the sender?
Hmm.
So you can see a lot of brands nowadays have realized like, hey, you know, this is what people are looking at. Okay, what can we do? So if you realize, you have Gordon from GoGet. Mm. You have Kate from KFit. Mm. Why? So Iris from iMoney.
Oh.
So this is how you can personalize that. So moving down the line, when people are engaged with your brand and your email, right, they'll know, oh, Gordon, that's GoGet. Let's see what he has to say today. So at one point when we're doing emails for KFit, right, people were actually writing in asking, who is Kate?
Yeah.
Kate sounds like a really nice person. Can we meet Kate? So it was not just the subject line that was the main focus. And also just now, as we mentioned, at the end of the day, from your email, you want to get some sort of reaction from it, right? So, yep, I read the subject line, I open the email, but what's inside is important. So if you want someone to download an ebook or visit your website or purchase something, what's inside matters. The color of your CTA buttons, where are you placing the wording, how short, how long is it, are your images mobile responsive?
Mm.
So, you know, subject line is just a small piece of the...
But that's the first step, though. Like, first intuition of whether should I open or delete this email.
Yeah. Okay. And it's debunked by saying that sender name is also important.
Yeah.
So sender name, then subject line, then what's inside.
And the sender name, like you say, Kate from KFit and Gordon from GoGet, are they usually the real person, or is it just an alter ego?
So it is a person who is doing the email marketing and writing the emails, but I'm pretty sure their name is not Kate, because it's a nice ring to it, right? It's like Kate at KFit, Gordon at GoGet.
Yeah. So like, I know at BFM, our practice is that, so for example, our upcoming, you know, events, and then when we send out EDMs, we actually send it from one of our like radio personalities. Is that a good idea? or is it better for a BFM, like a
no, I think
bill from BFM or something?
Oh, no, I think it's great because if it's a personality and
bill from BFM,
that's pretty good though. It's catchy. Yeah, why not? You test, hey.
Yeah,
you know, like we always advocate for testing, so test it out. But if it's a personality and like, for example, if I always listen to you like every week, right, Angeline from Marketing Mojo, and I get an email from you, I'll be pretty stoked. And then I get an email from you. So that's personal because I actually know you're someone. I've heard you speak. Yeah.
Okay. And then the myth number 13 is images are more preferable than text. Oh my God. This is like what we're practicing at BFM and they're all myths.
So this one is what a lot of people are practicing. I mean, like we've met our customers and we've actually had to talk to them and explain to them why. Right. The thing is, though, is because some email clients view emails with images off. And I think some people will have seen it. Then you have to click on the top right to enable images. And also when people are viewing emails on mobile nowadays, if you're in slow Wi-Fi connection or slow data connection, the images just don't load. And then you miss completely this person who's actually opened your email, but he can't see anything.
Okay.
So what we actually recommend is that you have alt text, ALT text on your images. If the images don't load, they'll see a box there. They'll see a plain text of what the image should be.
Mm.
So at least then you capture some attention there. But generally, as well as a rule of thumb, the image to text ratio in an email also contributes to the spam folder.
Oh.
Right? So if your image, if your email is more, like say 100% image, is more likely to end up in spam than an email that says maybe a 70 to 30 ratio of image to text.
So 70% image.
Yeah, so 70% image, 30% text, for example, is less likely to end up in spam than an email that's 100% image.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, we should do a what gets into spam folder
yeah,
as well.
Because there's a lot of things that we have learned ourselves as well in terms of deliverability, that even the smallest things can increase your chances of ending up in spam folder.
Moving on to our final myth, testing a small percentage of a list is enough to show the effectiveness of a message.
So what happens is when you're testing, so you're testing one against the other, right? So option A, option B. And so maybe option B is not something that you really wanted to do in the first place. So maybe you're afraid. You're like, I don't know whether people are going to like this. So you just take a small pool of your list, like maybe 10 people, and then you try to test two options, right? It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a substantial size. So like even the GetResponse tool, it's a very intuitive tool. So you can pick, what do you want to A-B test? So is it subject line? Is it content? Is it the sender, like, you know, the from field? And then you can actually drag the line, like, how many people?
Mm-hmm.
So always choose a substantial amount. Actually, if you go online, they have calculators for this, actually. So you can actually key in, I have this many females, this many males for this email. This is what I want to test. How many?
Okay.
And then it will tell you, okay, you know, take a group of this many people and then test it. So to get the best result. So do not be afraid. Like, you know, test it with your base.
Okay. And we've actually covered that if you lose people, you shouldn't panic.
Yeah, exactly. And so people who actually test with a substantial base, like 162% better, like, you know, the results after they've done the testing.
Before we end our conversation, pick the three most important things that every marketer should know.
I think number one would definitely, for me, would be that email marketing is not dying. It's still one of the most effective ways to communicate, especially since almost everyone has a database that they can engage with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you have to take time to build it. You probably already have a database. The other one that I really like is the fact that Pras was talking about never send the same email twice. I think that if someone hasn't opened your email and hasn't opened your email for the past week, you can send them the same email again. It's a wasted opportunity if you don't. And the third one would be for me about the don't panic when people unsubscribe from your database. Don't panic. We have to keep telling people that. Stop panicking.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. We'll be back again to talk about, you know, what happens in your spam folder or how your emails get in there and how do you get out of it. I've been speaking to Melissa Lee. She's the head of GetResponse Malaysia, as well as Prasanna William. She's a marketing specialist at GetResponse.
And BFM listeners, you're in for a treat. You get 50% off for first 2 months on GetResponse SMB Pack. packages. Just put in this promo code GRMOJO and just head on to app.getresponse.com/go. One more time, the promo code is GRMOJO. It's valid until 14th of March 2018. Head on to app.getresponse.com/go. Thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.